It is 4:44 and time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan with us here in studio.
Yeah.
Relaxing as the Downtown Madness finals.
Well, I've got nothing to do now except relax. Jessica Gagne. Curses. I knew it then.
All the way to, what do we call it? The Savory 16.
The Savory 16, yeah. And I was a 16 seed. I figure that's the circle of life. It's nice and fitting.
Knocked off a lot of people along the way.
That's right. And next year I'm gunning for everybody.
There you go.
They're done.
These are not certainly not the two people I would have expected in the finals, but that's good.
It's pretty crazy.
It's fun.
You know, but I don't know. I'm a little suspicious. I mean, you were talking before about how much you like Pat Callahan and how much you love all these new. I don't know. I'm not saying the fix is in, but is the fix in?
For
Jessica, she's gone now.
She's gone.
Oh, she's gone to a new, Amy Dickinson.
Yeah.
She had NPR folks.
Right.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
Well, I don't know who had folks. We know O'Hurley had folks. And
I had the Irish winemaker contingent, right? So
we had over 1,100 votes in that last round.
That's amazing. That's good. That's
crazy.
That's some good national reach right there.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
But strangely enough, was it last round? They were all within the United States.
Yeah.
Oh.
After 17, 18 countries.
Once I was knocked out, the Irish winemaking contingent lost interest.
Cutler was right.
The Peruvians. I know.
You were carried by the cartel. That's what got you there.
That's amazing.
All right.
That's okay. Well, that's cool. So I'm excited after this, after we talk a little bit about, we're talking about cooking with booze, by the way, this month is my favorite month because I get to talk about food and cooking with wine and other things. But I'm really excited after this. My son has shown an interest in hockey, which is why I'm probably never, I'm going to stop my sponsorship of this and everything else in the world and start saving money. So that
just
I can afford
to be a goalie.
My goodness, I know it's all true. And I was really good. I was very good friends with, and still actually am with a goalie, and he still plays. And I think that's the only way you can justify it is that you literally have to play, and hopefully even become one of these backup goalies who gets called into the Blackhawks game.
Yes.
How cool is that? By the way, I've read stories about that. But in case anybody out there in Radio Land doesn't know, there's a guy who he played. Not even really, big time college hockey, but he's one of these guys who's sort of on call for the Blackhawks. And I guess every team has these guys. And
he's like about a financial advisor.
He's a financial advisor, which I'm sure he's probably a lot more lucrative than a third string goalie somewhere getting called up. But sometimes, randomly they don't have, their AHL affiliates somewhere off and they need someone to fill in just in case. And lo and behold, this guy played for 17 minutes, I think, and turned away a number of shots and they won. I was like, that is just super cool.
Fantastic.
Because things like that don't really,
other sports need that rule.
That's right.
That'd be great.
Oh, my goodness. And the opportunity is ripe for curling now, Call up my buddy Chad or something.
Like, yeah,
I heard you're the president of the Curling Association up in Belfast. Come on up and
we need you right now.
So I think that's super cool. But yeah, so I'm going to go home. I just went and got some soccer goals because no one sells little hockey goals. And we're going to go home and try not to break any windows.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. I'm working on the fundamentals. Sticks on the ground, controlling the puck.
There you go.
He's not just going to be the guy who crashes into people and hurts them like Dad was.
I'm glad you said it first.
Puck handling was never my forte, but I'm going to try to make sure it's either his or both of theirs in case Nella takes it up. Cool. So like I said, we're talking about cooking with booze today. And so this whole month we'll be talking not just about wine but about cooking with beer, cider, mead, things like that. And we do this every year as I get to start to open my windows and let all the smoke of the things I've burned out conveniently. So I love talking about cooking, and I probably cook about 90% of the meals in our house as well. So it's kind of fun for me. And again, this isn't necessarily about pairing. We'll talk about pairing in the future and, things will come up, but this is more about like using food as an ingredient, right? And why do you do that? Well, number one, flavor profile. I mean, there's a lot of really, really wonderful flavors in all sorts of alcohols, right? I mean, that's part of the reason that we spend so much time talking about the aromas of wine, certainly beer, mead is wine. So, aromas there. And also, the palpable flavors. So, for instance, today we're going to be enjoying a Sauterne, and a Sauterne is a very classic French dessert wine, and just wonderful flavors of peach nectar and apricot and things like that. And wouldn't you love that in your cooking? And you know, the point you've got to sort of ask yourself before venturing into using booze is it going to enhance, change, or destroy your desired outcome? Can booze destroy your desired outcome? Yes, it can. I often tell the story about the first time I ever decided to buy a piece of salmon and marinate it. And this is when I was, you know, young. I was still singing in the Glimmerglass Opera. I was there alone. I said, ah, you know, marinate fish and wine, right? And I bought red cooking wine and I marinated it in. And I pulled it out of the fridge a couple hours later, and it had taken on this sort of nice purple color. I didn't eat it.
No.
I decided to call the pizza place. But so anyway, like I said, you can try to use booze in cooking and destroy things too. So just, you know, kind of try to think ahead and say, is this a good idea? Because if it's not a good idea, just cook the fish alone. You know what I mean? Now, when you're cooking with booze, a lot of the times you're going to cook it so much that the alcohol itself will burn off. So it's not a consideration just in case you're worried about, you know, serving it to children or things like that. Of course, there are certain exceptions to that, including rum cakes and stuff where you liberally douse, you know, and that's a little bit different. But if you're, you know, adding wine into a sauce or something like that, wine, the alcohol is going to burn off. It's absolutely safe. And a lot of different ways to use alcohol when you're cooking, right? So you can marinate, right? Like not fish in red wine, but you can marinate things. And marinating helps break down a lot of the sinews and stuff like that. So very often you're going to take like tougher, cheaper cuts of meat and marinate those perhaps. And that will really help make them more tender when you actually get to cooking them. Certainly adding flavor to sauces. Or making jellies or toppings, things like that. And also adding moisture, right? So next week I'll probably inevitably bring in another loaf of like beer bread and stuff like that. And that really adds a nice, nice moist, quality to the breads. So there's a lot of different ways you're going to be using it. And the other thing that I like to talk about, I always advocate that you want to cook with what you drink, right? Like there are these, like I mentioned earlier, cooking wines. Never buy a cooking wine. Never use a cooking wine. God help you, don't try to drink a cooking wine because you'll be really, really sad. First of all, these are probably products that have sat on the supermarket shelf for a very long time. They're made out of the cheapest possible stuff. They're going to be probably oxidized. They're going to just be absolutely atrocious. So just avoid things like that. But that doesn't mean you have to spend a lot of money. And this is a real sticky wicket. And this actually leads directly into the wine that we're going to be trying today. So cook with what you drink, but don't feel the need to spend a lot of money in something you're going to put in a recipe, right? And where this really comes up is old school cookbooks where they would put, you know, something like, so as I said, we are drinking a wine called a Sauterne today. Sauterne is a appellation from the Bordeaux region of France. And we'll talk a little bit more about it, but essentially it's a fairly expensive wine in general. But what happened was, and we've talked about this a million times, is that what happened after the Great Wars, right, World War II especially, is that we had a lot of GIs coming back who had been in a lot of these regions. So they knew the terms, they knew the names of the region. They said, oh, there's really good dessert wine in Sauternes, or there's really good wine in Chablis, or really good wine in Champagne. And California wine producers seized on that before there was a lot of regulation and made wines called Sauternes, which had nothing to do with Sauternes whatsoever. The grapes didn't come from France. It wasn't a dessert wine. It was basically a semi-sweet table white. And people would use that for recipes, that's fine, but they'd put in like, you know, use a Sauterne in this, and then people would come to me 40, 50 years later and say like, okay, so I'm making this recipe and I need Sauterne, and you know, I just noticed that your cheapest bottle is $80. And so that's when you have to explain to folks, well, that's because they weren't really using Sauterne, or if they were, it didn't cost what it costs now. So there's sometimes you're going to run into these, oh my gosh, I can't believe they would want me to, you know, make brownies out of an $80 wine or something like that. So ask your wine merchant. There might be some good alternatives. Now, about Sauternes, there are actually some fairly reasonably priced real Sauternes on the market right now, and we are going to be drinking one of them today. This is Chateau Eau Maine. It is about $25 on the shelf, which is definitely inexpensive for Sauterne, but this is actually a really nice one. Sauterne is a very, very ageable dessert wine. It how does one describe it? Well, it's got this botrytis thing going on, right? Botrytis is a form of rot called noble rot, and it gives it this very sort of heady, unctuous quality to it. And it is absolutely fabulous if you decide to do things like poach a pear in it. And if you poach a pear in it, you can save a little bit, sip with said poached pear, and you will look like a rock star, just in case, you know, anybody wants to look like a rock star at a dinner party. That's a good way to do it. And again, so if you're looking for, you know, things to cook with, and you get a little sticker shock, ask your wine merchant, because there might be something like this, or we might find an alternative for you that isn't exactly what the recipe called for name-wise, but might be flavor profile-wise, right? And again, sort of prognosticating and saying, okay, this is going to combine with this and do this and this and this, and it'll turn out the same way, hopefully. I only have a little bit of time left, so I did want to mention that our tasting this month is on the 19th, and it will feature recipes, right? So we're going to be... probably cooking what we can figure out to cook, including the beer breads and stuff like that, which are always very popular. Oh, so do come on out 5 to 7 p.m. on the 19th. No reservations or anything necessary. And we'll have the little receipts printed, or the recipes printed out and everything. So if anybody out there is a fan looking for some new stuff to make, come on out and we'll set you up. And next week we'll be talking about cooking with beer. So if anybody out there also enjoys beers, including besides wine, do listen to that as well, and we'll find you something fun to make. And that's about all I have to say, except next year, Downtown Madness. Think about it now. Start, build up the hype now, so that when it comes time, you know, the right person will win.
Well, now, next year, of course, after your strong performance, you'll get a much higher seed.
Oh, I don't know if I kind of like the underdog thing.
But those days are gone. You're a player now.
Okay, well, that's all right. I'm content. Like, you know, middle of the pack, maybe, probably. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's okay. I can still rise up to victory.
Absolutely. This is
the Loyolas of the world, as opposed to the UMBCs.
Yeah, that was delicious.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, anybody out there likes dessert wines, Sauternes is the way to go. It's really fantastic.